Tonight's scripture reading will be from Ecclesiastes 7:25. I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness.
God requires us to know him. God requires us to seek after him and put him first in our lives. God requires us to be right with him. In order to do this, we must find out how to do so. We must find out how to be right with him and how to serve him the way he wants us to serve him and to follow him the way in which he wants us to follow him. As I mentioned this morning, each of us has an individual responsibility to be right with God. And the way of getting right with God requires effort on our part. As we consider the book of Ecclesiastes, I want us to look at major themes that run through the book of Ecclesiastes, especially the word usage that is mentioned. As we mentioned this morning, the word hebel, which is vanity, and how it is mentioned throughout there. But that really is not the main theme that's running through there. Although we look, as we mentioned this morning, the worldly things of in the contemplation of life, that there is things in this world. Our world is really vanity without God. But I want us to look at one major principle that comes through, and it's used as through three different words in the Hebrew that I want to look at, and it's reha, and it's pretty much transliterated R-A-A-H, and it's used 50 times in 46 verses. And the Hebrew definition is to see, to look, to inspect, to give attention to, and to understand. We may translate it in English as to see, look, observe, consider, and even desire. And that is one word is used almost 12 times more and also in 16 more verses than the word hebel, which means vanity. And there's another word I want us to look at, because we see that as we look at this and we look at that we need to see, look, and inspect upon, give attention to, and understand. And what does he, the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, also wants us to act wisely? So he uses this word, chakam. It's C-H-A-C-A-M. He uses that word 53 times in 44 verses, and it's to act wisely, have wisdom and skill and experience, to be wise. We may just translate it the same as be wise, wisdom, or wise, and understand that that one word is used multiple times in the Hebrew text. And the third word I want us to look at is yada, is Y-A-D-A. It's used 44 times in 38 verses, and it's the word in Hebrew defines it as know, observe, notice, experience, knowledge, and discernment. So we would translate it in our English translations, know, realize, and knowledge. So whenever we look at these three words, there's one main theme that runs through this, and to characterize what we should be in our life would be this. We need to see, look, inspect, and give attention to, and understand knowledge. Specifically, we know that God's word, God's revelation, and to use it to act wisely in our life. And that is one of the main principles, the main theme that runs through the book of Ecclesiastes. We see this is done purposefully, and it's done diligently in the writing in order to be able to search out and to find the truth. This is very important for everybody to find out the truth. We need to be right with God. We need to be in the right relationship with God. We need to know what God requires of us, so we have to search for it. We need to know the truth. We need to understand, because we look around us and we see that there is false doctrine, and there's false doctrine, and I'll just generally say there is an uphill battle to find the truth. And why is that? It's because of false doctrine, false teaching on the matters of religion, the matters of truth. And so we may find it hard to actually find the truth. Now, we know that we can find the truth in God's Word, and we know that we have the truth of God's Word, but still, there are some, and based upon years and years of people defending God's Word, we can understand that this is the inspired Word of God. This stands the test of time. And God's Word is what we can look to find this truth. Now, we also find this, a search for truth in our daily lives. As we go upon the things that we live on, we see, as I mentioned, we find it in religion. We find it in politics. We find it even in our news, where we see what and ask, what is the truth? I want to know the truth in the matter. How do we find that truth? Well, we must search for it. Well, now, we do live in a postmodern era, world that pretty much says your truth is as good as my truth. So, and there's no absolute truth, but we know that to be false. We know that that there is absolute truth, because there is a God, and there's a God that is not an author of confusion. And if there was no truth, there would be confusion everywhere. No one could act upon their beliefs, because it would just be, as we say sometimes, their version of the truth. But false doctrine is prominent in Christianity, and we need to know that, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to understand it. We are surrounded by many in our time who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, but they are not following the teachings of Christ. That is very sad. That is very troubling. It is very heart-wrenching when we know that people who proclaim to be followers of Christ are not really followers of Christ. That is sad. Jesus said, in dealing with this, it's not just in our time, it was dealt with him specifically. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, he said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" You know, we think about that. Why would you call me Lord? Why would you call me your master if you are not going to follow my teachings? Well, you know, we may use this in our practical life if we take a step back and say, you know, why do you call me your boss when you aren't doing the things that I hired you to do? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord? Why are you calling me your master when you are not listening and doing what I ask you to do? There's false doctrine in Christianity. There's divisions of how we should do things, what we should do. And all that is divisions. And we know that the scriptures teach far from division. In fact, it says there should be no divisions among you. We should be one as Christ is with God. And therefore, we can understand that denominations or divisions should be set apart. And we should be able to look at God's Word and know the truth, and know that we can find the truth if we are only taking the time to search for it. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that last day, on that day, which we know is judgment, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" In Matthew, that's Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. It is sad. It is sad that people will call him Lord, Lord. They will follow, they will say that they're his, but they are not following after him. There will be those that Jesus will depart, have depart from him. And we know that departure is into everlasting punishment, an everlasting eternity without God. And he said, because you're practicing lawlessness, practicing division, not following after my teachings. So there is false doctrine out there. And that's why we, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, as one who should be striving for the truth, and that truth is in Jesus Christ. Jesus proclaimed that there is absolute truth, and it is in him. He said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So what Jesus was saying, that he is the absolute truth. He is the truth because he is the way. He is proclaiming that there is no other way. He is proclaiming that he is the truth. And that's an absolute truth that he is. He is the life. He is the only life. And no one can have an eternity with God in heaven except through Jesus Christ. Jesus proclaimed that there is absolute truth. And he is saying it is through him. In John 8, 31 through 32, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine and you'll know the truth. And we know what happens when we know the truth will set us free. So when we look at the things that Jesus taught and the things that he was making application for our life, that if we follow after him, we'll truly be his disciples. And we will know and will be set free from our sins. We have to do that by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can be free from the sin and free from ignorance because we are seeking the truth. Knowing the truth and being obedient to the truth will set us free from our sins. There is a need to find truth, to find knowledge, to search and to seek out wisdom. Solomon understood this principle and understood it by our scripture reading tonight in chapter 7 and verse 25, where he said, I applied my heart to know, to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness and madness. I want us to dig in and look at this verse a little more in depth. We first talks about his heart. We know that the heart is a vital organ in our body. It is its circulation. It circulates blood and oxygen throughout our body. It's the strongest organ of our body, and it's essential for us to live. And he uses it in a sense to show his inward drive. And we do that today. We may say that the person, he put his whole heart into that project. Or we also say, well, you know, that boy, he has a lot of heart. Or we use it even in our relationships. I love you with all of my heart. That's the way we should love God, with all of our heart. See, also, we may make reference to it, and we may look at an athlete and say, you know, that effort that athlete put in was half-hearted. Solomon applied his whole heart for knowledge, his whole heart to seek after and to strive for and take an effort to discern with his whole heart. And he did that. He took his whole heart to go. He was going on to search with his whole heart. He was going to seek out with his whole heart. And he was going to know with his whole heart. And what was he going to know? He was going to know wisdom and the reason for things. And we look at that as we can look and just define that as truth. He wanted to know and to find out what is truth. We know And we want to know the truth in all matters. It should be our desire, it should be our aim, and it should be our mission as followers of Christ to find out the truth in all things. Now, we know that there are some things that aren't revealed to us, but we should still seek and make sure that we understand and know that they are not revealed to us. But we need to get an understanding and to strive and to search, just like Solomon did. Now, it is my understanding that there is no direct quote from the book of Ecclesiastes by any New Testament writer. But there are plenty of direct concepts that are in the New Testament regarding the things that he's written. In fact, we see that specifically if you turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Peter writes and he said, "Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that has been brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." When we look at what he said here, what Peter was implying, and he said, prepare your mind for action. He said, gird up your loins. In the loins of your mind, you take that time to prepare your mind to know so that you're ready to be active. And we know that in doing that, we have to look and make an effort to do that. And we have to be sober as we're doing it. We can't be on drugs or alcohol or those types of things and girding up our mind or preparing our mind for action. But we need to rest our hope upon the grace that has been brought to all man through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we know that revelation is God revealed. God revealed his plan to us. And that is in Jesus Christ. That is in his word. We know that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for us. And it is doctrine. It's for reproof, for correction. And we should strive to learn it and strive to know the truth. So therefore, we have to prepare our minds for action. And that's so that we can know. In order to prepare our minds, we have to seek after that wisdom which is from above. We also see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These principles being set forth for us. As we see, he says in chapter 5 and verse 6, he says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who are asleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting the breastplate of faith and love, and as the helmet of the hope of salvation." We see what he is saying here, not that we can't ever have sleep, but what he's saying is, let us be watchful. Let us be alert. And in order to do so, we have to look at the temptations that are around us. Be alert and know that there may be evil approaching us. That we are sober in the way that we can handle those temptations. That we can strive to put on faith and love and hope that we have that is in Jesus Christ. That we can be right with God and have salvation. And so we have to be watchful. We have to be on alert. And in doing so, we must seek after those things. So we know what God's word says. So we know how to stand the wiles of the devil. So that we know that if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. We need to have a knowledge of God's word, and we need to seek to strive for it each and every day. That we need to be like James said in James chapter 3, 13 through 18. He said this in James chapter 3, 13 through 18. He said, "Who is the wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. I want us to look. James sought out wisdom, and we know that James was one that was a brother of Jesus. He was seeking wisdom, and if we're doing it and living however we want, and our hearts aren't right, and we're envying and having self-seeking exists in us, that wisdom isn't from heaven. That wisdom is earthly. It's sensual and even mentions demonic. It's not from God, is what it's clearly saying. So we need to strive after the wisdom that is from above. And he said in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It is then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You see, being right with God requires effort, the effort to apply our heart to know, to seek out, and to discern the things that are from above, from God. And that is through the revelation that he has given us, his word, and through the gospel in which he's given us to be obedient to him. We must know the truth and obey it. Solomon even sought out the things in wickedness. And folly, even in foolishness and madness. And we gain an understanding. We know the way Solomon lived. Solomon had all this wealth. Solomon had all these things. And he dabbled in it. He followed after it. He had many wives and concubines. And he had many riches. And he sought the pleasures of this world. But we know that wasn't anything but vanity. But the truth of the matter is, I need to seek out and serve and find out what is the truth. We see in the New Testament, there's multiple scriptures that talks about these evil things of the world. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, he first starts off and says, therefore be imitators of God, dear children. He wants us to be imitators of God. How do we be imitators of God? Well, the only way we can know how to be right with God is through his word, through what he has revealed to us. So therefore, we have to have an understanding. And if it's from God, we know that it is an absolute truth. And he tells us in verse 2 in Ephesians chapter 5, he said, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice for God, a sweet-smelling aroma. You see, Jesus came down to this earth. He came in the flesh. He lived the perfect life. It became the perfect sacrifice for all of us. So what does it say? But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. There's a warning for us that we need to seek out that truth, and that truth is in God and in Christ Jesus. And we need to know that some of those things that even Solomon dabbled in and things that he went around and did, there is no gain in that. There is nothing that we should do to go into those fleshly desires that we have at times. There's no place in heaven for that. We can't inherit the kingdom of God. So why would we even go after the lusts of the flesh? Take heed to the warning. He said, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon you as sons of disobedience. He said, for you once were in darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And we need to seek out, find out. It says in verse 10, find out and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. You see, he wants us to try to find out these things that are worldly, the fleshly things. He wants us to another way to translate it is try to learn. We should try to learn the things that are not acceptable to God. Try to learn the things that are acceptable to the Lord. And the ones that aren't, don't participate in them. Don't follow after them. Don't fellowship, especially the works of darkness. And he wants us to expose them. So how do we expose them? We have to find the truth in the matter. In order to find the truth in the matter, we have to seek for and search and to strive for it. We understand that we are not perfect as well. We have made mistakes. In fact, Colossians 3 talks about some of those mistakes and that they have made. He said in verse 7, he said, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. How did we get that knowledge? We sought for it. We strive for it. We strive to get it. And how do we get it? We got it according to the one who created us, our God. We also know in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14 that we need to be diligent to be found in him. We must be diligent to strive after our and be found in Christ. This leads us to the topic of salvation. There is nothing more important in our life is to make sure that we are saved from our sins. That when either the day that Christ returns to this earth or the day that we may die, that we are in the right relationship with God. How do we know that we are saved from our sins? We must seek after salvation for our souls. We must strive to know about it and understand it. And especially because there is false doctrine involved, especially in salvation. So what do we need to do? We need to see, look, inspect, give attention to, and understand knowledge to act wisely in our life. Just as Solomon did. Especially, as I mentioned, there is salvation. There is false doctrine regarding salvation. We understand in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 8, that salvation is a gift from God. Grace, we often refer to it. We have to understand that there is grace, and it's a gift from God. And we understand that we can't do anything to earn our salvation. It is a gift from God. God has given us his Son. We know that. He's given John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, we can't do anything. But some will even go farther than that and say, well, baptism is not necessary. Just believe in Jesus. All we have to do. Or say a certain prayer and you'll be saved. Over and over, we must make a constant effort to seek out the truth. Is that true? Is that not true? We need to know. We need to seek. We need to find the answers to that. And how do we do that? By going to God's Word. We look over and over again throughout the Bible that we are told about the Holy Scriptures to seek them out, to investigate, to test the spirits, to see and examine them, to see if those things are so. We need to be diligent in doing that. We know that we have to be obedient in order to get the free gift of salvation, that we have to partake in it. And how do we partake in it? Is following the teachings of Christ and in following after Christ. And how do we be in Christ? Is by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can look at Ephesians, pretty much the whole first chapter, that we have to be in Christ. In Galatians, we find out that being in Christ is being baptized and clothed with Christ. And that is in baptism, in obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So what we see are requirements for salvation. Yes, it is a free gift from God, but anybody hands you a gift, and if you don't open it, is it really something that is there for your taking? Or you never accept it, or you don't come and grasp it? You see, we have to participate, and we have to. It's not by the works of any special thing in our water. It is being obedient to God. And how do we be obedient? It's by searching and knowing what God has said and what he wants us to do. So it raises the question for us. Are we seeking after truth? Are we striving for it with our whole heart? You see, we need to see, look, inspect, give attention to, and understand knowledge so that we can act wisely in our life daily. We must be studying God's word so we know the truth. We should be always seeking for it. We can't just stop and say, oh, I became a Christian, so therefore I'm good with salvation. We have to continually be faithful until death. We have to continue to strive for it. In order to do so, we must study the word of God. We must gain wisdom from God's word. Because guess what? We seek after that truth. That truth helps us. It helps us to live faithful. It helps us to strive and do the things that are right and not the things that are foolish or even sinful. So we need God's word. We need knowledge of it. So I ask you, are you seeking after God? Are you seeking to and striving to find him? Are you seeking the truth? If you're not, there's eternal consequences for it. We know that we need to obey the gospel. We know that we need to believe in Jesus Christ and know that we have to confess him, that he is the Son of God, repent of our sins, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, and live faithful unto death. Maybe you've done that and have turned away from God. We know the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we know that sometimes we involve ourselves in activities of this world, that we hurt our relationship with God. But make sure to seek out. Make sure to seek that you are right with God. And if we can help you tonight to get right with God, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.